This is Rabbi Jeffrey Sachs, editor of Tradition. The arrival of a COVID vaccine is a long-awaited and wonderful development that requires our gratitude to God and the scientists through whom his work is done for providing humanity the means to eradicate the pandemic and its deadly effects. In this podcast, Rabbi Yonah Riess explains the obligation to vaccinate from a halachic standpoint. Rabbi Riess, a member of Tradition's editorial board, serves as the Av Bet Din of the Chicago Rabbinical Council. He argues that it's a requirement based on the imperative of guarding our own lives and preventing harm to others. He also covers some of the issues related to halachic triage, who should be first in line to get the shots, as well as our religious obligation to sanctify God's name by displaying vigilance in preserving and protecting human life. This episode was produced by Tradition's publisher, the Rabbinical Council of America, for its member rabbis, and is being shared with our listeners as a courtesy of the RCA and its executive director, Rabbi Mark Dratch. The RCA has shown yeoman leadership this past year, serving as a resource for communities and rabbis, and helping to lead the way as we juggle the needs of Jewish life during this unprecedented age of COVID. For more on the obligation to vaccinate, see our recent article, Halacha Approaches the COVID-19 Vaccine, by Drs. Sharon Galper-Grossman and Shammai Grossman, available at traditiononline.org. And now, here's Rabbi Yonah Riess.
In terms of the shiur today, I also want to dedicate it to the memory of Rav Agon, Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz Zatzal, who was our inspiration and our Rosh Beis Din here in Chicago whenever it came to any major halachic issues. And I know that Rabbi Schwartz's perspective was very much to have faith and confidence in the authorities when it came to any issue. He had a very close relationship with the local police here in Chicago to always cooperate with respect to security matters and to follow their expertise, and also had a close relationship with the medical authorities and would regularly consult regarding medical issues and health issues because you have to turn to the mumkin whenever you are trying to provide halakhic guidance with respect to any issue. And I know that Rav Schwartz would have been very favorably inclined towards any vaccine that was endorsed by the totality, really, of the medical establishment, and that had gone through such rigorous trials and had proven to be as effective as the vaccines that are now out on the market. So first and foremost, we have to say, Hodol Hashem ki tov ki le'olam chasdo. We've been davening for Yeshua's refuos during this entire period. And we can't just take for granted that in such a short period of time, the experts have been able to devise and develop these effective vaccines that people are actually now getting. A number of healthcare workers, even this week, I have a sister who's a nurse, have already received the vaccine, and it's already beginning to do its job. So we have to have hakara satov. We have to have gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the vaccine is out here altogether. So the question on the table, and that which we have to provide a dracha to our congregations about, to our constituents about, is the question of obligation. Is the chiyuv to take the vaccine? Do people have the right to be worried that maybe there are side effects that we don't know about yet, that they're always a little bit nervous to try something new? Is there any kind of a concern from a halakhic perspective, or do we have a mandate to take it from a halakhic perspective? Is it simply strongly encouraged but not mandated? And what exactly should be the order for people to take the vaccine? Now, of course, it's true. I'm on an ethical advisory board of one of the local hospitals here in Chicago, but by and large, most of us are not going to be asked about the Seder Kedima of the order in which the vaccine will be given. It might be a little bit of a theoretical discussion, but it could come up in various contexts to the degree that there are doses that are given to an institution, and maybe the heads of the institution have to decide who gets first, who gets second, and so on. All that being said, we have to look at what are the building blocks of the discussion. What are the sources that tell us that we have a certain responsibility when it comes to utilizing a vaccine which is on the market? So the first source, of course, is the pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, Parshas Vayeskonen, Mishmartem Me'od Nafshoseichem. We have an obligation to safeguard our health. We have an obligation to safeguard the health of our community. The Chafetz Chaim, in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, says that a Rav who's asked a question regarding whether Pikuach Nefesh is going to be Docha Shabbos, somebody is hesitating to be Mechal Shabbos because they don't know if they're allowed to do so to save a life. So that's a violation, of course, of what it says in the Yerushalmi, Anishal Areza Miguna, that if you get asked a Shaila, then you're doing something wrong. So we as Rabbanim have to broadcast what the steps are that community members are obligated to take in order to safeguard their health, in order to safeguard the health of everybody in the community. The famous question asked by the Minchas Chinuch and others regarding Nishmatim Me'od Nafshoseichem is that it is recorded in the Torah in a spiritual context, that you have to be careful not to worship Avodah Zarah. Similarly, the Pasuk V'Kishom L'Chol Shmor Nafshecha Me'od, which also appears nearby in the Torah, that's also used for the purpose of teaching us you have to safeguard our health. We find that in the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara in Shavuos and Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. So that pasuk as well, Akisham Melacha, is talking about not forgetting the Torah. These psukim seem to be dealing with the spiritual realm rather than the physical realm, the obligation to take care of one's health. So what really is the answer to that question? I think if you look in the parish of Rav Shimon Schwab, of the Torah, Mayan Beis HaShoeva, he explains when the Torah was given, and we were told all of these directives, so we were protected from any kind of ruchnius danger because the Torah was given through ruchnius. But because of the fact that the Torah is mateshes kocha shaladam, it weakens a person physically. So therefore, we are told that these psukim are there to reinforce us that in order for us to be able to learn the Torah, keep the mitzvos properly, so we also have to safeguard our physical health. It kind of goes hand in hand. Haba hatalia, if we're going to be able to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu spiritually, then it's a prerequisite. We have to take care of our health. So the Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach brings the pasuk Rakisham l'choshmo nafshecha miyod to teach us about the importance of safeguarding health. Famous comment by the Baragola, the end of Choshen Mishpat Siman Tofach Chav Zayin, where the Shulchan Aruch there brings all the halachos that you have to be so careful about anything that's going to bring sakonis nefashos. And a person who says, who cares? I'll just take my chances and I will endanger myself. I'll go out and I won't take all the safety precautions of the social distancing and the washing of hands and the wearing of masks and so forth, and I'll endanger myself. Any makpid bekach, so makin also makas mardus. So a person who puts themselves into sakana, technically, they are eligible to receive makas mardus because of the fact that they are violating this notion of yisham alecha u'shmo nafshecha meod. And the Baragola explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu baris olam b'chasa lehetif l'anivroim she'akibu g'dulasov l'abad avodasov v'kiyo mitzvosa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world that we should serve him and be able to do mitzvos. The mesakin es asma, a person who puts himself or herself in danger, not heeding all of the safety requirements, kilumoes baratzon boro, is showing a complete contempt for the desire of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, for us to be able to live and thrive in this world and fulfill mitzvos properly. Just look at Rachmana Litzlan, all the people who have been affected by this terrible machla, all the people who have died. It's a very serious thing that if we don't take safety precautions, so then there are less people who are in this world to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. We have so many people in our community Jane Bias, Shirin Shah Mesa, that practically every household has been affected in some way, if not through a family member, through people that that they know who are like family. There's no greater disregard for HaKadosh Baruch Hu than not taking care of your health properly. It's the last comment, really, to all of Shulchan Aruch. It's a very good coda to the Shulchan Aruch in terms of summarizing the essence of what should be the focus of our lives. But what's important to remember is that it's not only in terms of there being an obligation to safeguard our own health, that we're supposed to take whatever reasonable measure. Tosfos Sim Suva says that we can't just say Akol Bidei Shemayim, say Chutz Mitzirim Upachim, meaning that you have to put on a coat if it's cold outside. You have only yourself to blame if you don't take normal safety precautions. That's what's called pshia. You can't expect protection min haShemayim when you're going to be poshea. There are normal, reasonable methods that you can take. And then you're obligated to take those methods of protecting yourself. Certainly a vaccine would fall into that category. But there's another consideration, which is, as Rav Moshe Sternbach, Shlita, wrote a couple of years ago when there was the whole controversy regarding taking vaccines with respect to the measles vaccine, the MMR vaccine, that people were afraid it would cause autism, various nonsensical theories that had been circulating, unfortunately, and made their rounds into even the Frum community. And he pointed out that not only do you have to worry about safeguarding your own health, but it's also makom shechov l'acharini, that you're going to end up affecting and hurting others. You certainly have no right to endanger your health at the expense of others. This is why public health matters are always treated much more severely than simply private health matters. Even a lower level of sakana is something that we have to take seriously. Dr. Avram Steinberg, the very beginning of the epidemic, published an essay in which he quoted his revered mentor, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal, as pointing out this principle of the difference between a sakana shel yachid and a sakana shel rabim, bringing as a raya the Gemara and Shabbos about how you're allowed to extinguish a gacheles, a coal, which could cause a fire in the Rishu Sarabim, achlokis, whether only gacheles shel mateches, or even a gacheles shel eitz, which would be an issa d'araisa, despite the fact that you're not allowed to do it in the privacy of your own home, because in the privacy of your own home, you can guard the gacheles. But if it's going to be in the Rishu Sarabim, then you can't say, Ani achol istader, I can, you know, take care of it, because you don't know that everybody will, you know, be able to be guarded properly. And certainly, if you are the emissary of the danger yourself, in terms of you're not wearing a mask, you're not taking protection, you're not availing yourself of a vaccine when you have the opportunity to do so, so then you personally are endangering others. And that's a violation of Lo Samar al Damriyecha, Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. You're not allowed to stand idly by your neighbor's blood. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, why do I need that Pasuk? We know that we're supposed to restore a person's lost object. Obviously, we're supposed to restore their health with the Pasuk of Ashivosalo. The Gemara answers that this teaches us that you have to take affirmative steps in order to save somebody. If it's just to restore a lost object, you don't have to hire somebody to go retrieve it if you can't retrieve it yourself. However, if it's to save somebody's life, they're drowning in a river and you can't swim yourself, you have to hire, you have to call the Coast Guard, you have to hire divers in order to save the individual. And Rashi has a very interesting comment on that. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, he says that what the Gemara is teaching us is the following principle. And I think this is a very important statement when it comes to issues where we can potentially take measures that will have the effect of saving and safeguarding other people's lives. And it's not that difficult for us, and it doesn't threaten us personally to take the measures, even if we don't feel that it's necessary for ourselves. Rashi says as follows. Says Lo Samaro Atzvacha Mashma Elachazor Al Kol Studin Shelo Yaave Damriyecha. You have to look at every single possible measure that can be taken in order to safeguard another person's life. You have to utilize every single method at your disposal that can reasonably be taken in order to save and protect the lives of others. So I think that in this particular case, and I've written about this before, before the COVID virus even hit us, and we were just talking about other types of vaccines, where the case of measles, the number of deaths were far, far lower than what we're talking about now in terms of the percentage of people with COVID who have ended up dying, and particularly among the older population, the immunocompromised population. With the case of measles, it was maybe 1 in 1,000. And here we're talking about more than 1 in 100, Rahman al-Islan, and much more so for those who are in vulnerable states, that in this particular case, we have an affirmative obligation, not only of Nishmartim Modin Afshosechim, but also of Lo Saman al-Dameyach HaChazo al-Kot Staden, look at any methodologies, any means available to save people's lives. People have been dying right and left. We have approximately 300,000 people in the United States who have died of the coronavirus. So we have here available to us something which can put a complete end to the coronavirus if people will take the vaccine. So we have a solemn obligation to take it. If you have herd immunity, so as we know in the case of measles and other illnesses, it really effectively put a complete end to the scourge of the disease or the illness in question. Here, it can put a complete end to the epidemic, to the worldwide pandemic. You need a certain number of people to take the vaccine. Every single person is obligated to do so. It's incredible. This vaccine, according to the tests that have been performed by the Mumchen, both the Pfizer vaccine, the Moderna vaccine, they have an effectiveness rate of something in the range of 91% to 94%. For herd immunity, some of the experts say you need 70% of the population to take the vaccine. So you'll need at least 75% of the people or so to take the vaccine. So you'll have the 70% immunity rate amongst the population. Everybody has an obligation to contribute to that number. And therefore, this is a fulfillment and obligation of Lo Saman al Dam Riecha. And it's a tremendous mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of Hatzolas Nefashos. You know, some have quoted the Pasuk, quoted the Maimon Chazal, that Kol HaMekayim Nefesh Achas B'Yisrael Malin Alav Kilo Kiyam Olam Mole. If you have rescued one Jewish person, it's as if you have saved the entire world. It's an Olam Mole. Every single person stands for an Olam Mole. That's the Bavli says Nefesh Achas Mi Yisrael. Look in the Yerushalmi, it has the same mission in Sanhedrin. Yerushalmi says that Kol Mekayim Nefesh Achas Malin Alav Kilu Kiyem Olam Mole. Doesn't even have the word Miyisrael. I want to, you know, just, you know, mention for a second that it's very important when we're speaking about a pandemic to recognize our responsibility towards the entire world. We speak appropriately about the mitzvah Pikuach Nefesh to save a fellow Yisrael, save another Jew. Make sure that we don't have more debts in our community. That certainly is a very significant and weighty concern. But we also have a responsibility towards the entire world. Don't forget that Rabbi Akiva Eiger, when he wrote about the cholera epidemic in the 1820s and the important safety and health regulations that needed to be taken and how everyone should daven, for people to get better and not to get sick through the epidemic, he said you should recite Tehillim and the Yehiratzon Acha Tehillim, and you should say Yehiratzon for all the people who are ill. Lahaskir b'soicha gam al hamelech. You should also mention for the king, the head of the government, those who are taking care of ensuring the health and safety regulations that are going to protect the Jewish community as well, Rizaro and his children, Rizarov and all the officers, v'chol shochnei artzo, and all the residents of the land, You're dealing with a pandemic. It's not just the residents of the land, it's the residents of the world. We have to be concerned for the health and the safety, not only of the Jewish community, but for the entire world. And it's a mitzvah for us to take whatever measures that we can in order to promote the health of everybody and to recognize our responsibility in that regard. There's a concern that people register that isn't it perhaps a suffix sakana if we're going to take the if we're going to take the vaccine. And after all, it seems to be a machlokus between the Bavli and Yerushalmi, where the chayev adam lahaknis is asked from a suffix sakana. You know, you're obligated to put yourself in a suffix sakana in order to hatzil es achim ibadai sakana, in order to save somebody else from ibadai sakana. So here, you'll say maybe others are in a bigger sakana, but I feel I can take care of myself by wearing a mask, by staying home and so forth. And I don't need to go out to take the vaccine. Well, I'll put myself in a suffix sakana just because there happens to be a vadai sakana, which is raging around us. So nothing could be further from the truth in this case, because when we speak about suffix sakana, as is mentioned by the Aruch HaShulchan, by the Aguda Zezov, quoted by the Pesach Teshuva and Siman Tav Chavav and Choshen Mishpat, you have to be careful, lishkol ha'inyan heitev, to scrutinize the issue very, very carefully. Yesh po safek sakana. Is there really a safek sakana? Safek sakana means there's a reasonable chance, 50%, 30%, a person could die, a person could become very, very seriously ill. The Rabbi spoke about that you don't have to amputate a limb of your own limb in order to save somebody else. Certainly, those are the types of things that can create terrible complications. When the Gemara says you see somebody drowning in the river, you're supposed to jump in. The Gemara doesn't say, oh, maybe when you jump in, you're going to lacerate your face. Maybe you're going to get a scratch on your toe. And maybe that scratch will develop into an infection, and the infection will lead to more serious things. There are degrees of sakana that are so incredibly remote that they don't even enter the cheshbon. They don't enter the calculation when it comes to making the decision to take an action in order to save other people. And we say in such a case, lo didaktik b'yoser. Do not be overly medactic. Do not overly define the category of suffix sakana when you can really do something relatively safely in the normal course. When it comes to these matters, you can certainly rely upon the doctors, the experts. This is the idea of rapo yirape, mikan shenitan reshus lerofe lerapos, that the doctors are given the authority to make these types of determinations, and we are allowed, as Rav Asher Weiss and others have pointed out, once the Torah says that the doctors are given that authority, so in l'chayal rofe should be yarmecha, so to speak, that you have to rely upon the medical expertise of your times, and then a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you this haftacha, you follow that mitzvah, or bo yirape, you rely upon the medical expertise of your times, you're going to be okay. The Gemara has a number of instances in which it says that the doctors were consulted regarding various issues. It's interesting, there was a letter that was written to the Ragachev Gaon, together with other Gedolim, I think it was by Rabbi Shimon Schwab, in which he was asking guidance regarding the study of secular wisdom. Is one allowed to study secular studies? Subject near and dear to our hearts. He received the responses from a number of different Gedolim. One of them was the Ragachev Gaon. The Ragachev Gaon said, well, of course, you have to study certain things because not everything is going to be included in the study of the Torah itself. The Torah relies upon a knowledge of other chokmos, and he gives, as an example, the chokmos harifua. He says that there are a number of instances that you find in the Gemara where the Gemara, whether it's trying to determine that a person who was murdered was a trefa, in which case the murderer is not given the death penalty. It was not a trefa. It says, like the Rambam says, you have to turn to the Rofim, Riyomu Arofim, Shemakazu Ein La Taila Ba'odim. And they say that this is a type type of that the person had a type of disease that was curable or was not curable or so forth. And it's the Talmud Yerushalmi that speaks about how you can distinguish between a Petsua Daka and a Krushovka. It says, Ein bein Petsua Daka lebein Krushovka lehilchos rofin. The doctors are able to determine which is curable, which is not curable. It's Hilchos Rofim in the Gemara Nida, Dafkot Beis, Amud Beis. It talks about that they were trying to figure out whether a certain discharge from a woman was a fetus or not. And they asked one Chacham, that Chacham asked the other Chachamim, the Chachamim Shalul Rofim. And then all the Chachamim got together and they said, we have to ask the doctors. The doctors have to be consulted. And when it comes to these matters, the doctors, the mumchin, have to be relied upon. So question as to whether you look at the majority or whether you look at the biggest experts here, both of the majority and the biggest experts, as Rav Moshe Weiss pointed out, Rav Minyan and Rav Binyan, they all say that this is an efficacious vaccine and that it works and that it's not dangerous. They tested it on each vaccine had to be tested on 30 to 40,000 people. So you have approximately 80,000 people, if not more, who have already been exposed to this vaccine. And not one person has died from the vaccine itself. They had a placebo group in which there were people who died, got very sick and died and so forth. Obviously not from the vaccine because they didn't have the vaccine. The people who received the vaccine, there was not one death. There are on occasion allergic reactions. A person knows that they're susceptible to allergic reactions. They have to ask, or they have to ask their doctor. So based on these considerations, that you have a affirmative mitzvah, nishmatim ol nafshoseichem. It's like being moes in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you don't take proper safety measures, you have an obligation of lo samar al dam riecho. We know sakanto chamir meisura. Like the Gemara in Chulin says, there is no justification or rhyme or reason to refrain from having the vaccine based on considerations of sapek sakana. There simply is no sapek sakana in this particular case. So therefore, we're left with the fact that there is an absolute categorical imperative that people have to take the vaccine. I know that Rabbi Mordechai Willig Shlita has paskined this way as well. Rabbi Mori, that there is an affirmative obligation for everybody to take the vaccine. If a person is told by their doctor that they're in a category where there would be a very adverse allergic reaction that would make them ineligible, that's a different story. But I don't believe that there is actually anybody, you know, so far who is classified to be in that category. Anyone who's in the target group that's been tested, which I believe is people who are 16 years and over, they all are considered to be proper candidates for the vaccine. And every single person has to safeguard their life and safeguard the lives of others. I listened to the Headlines radio show where they interviewed Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita, who is sometimes reputed as having an opinion regarding vaccines, which is less enthusiastic about the requirement to take vaccines. It was a very poignant little interview. The interviewer was David Lichtenstein, who is the host of the radio show. He said that he's been locked up or sheltered in place for so many months. He hasn't had a chance to see his grandchildren. He takes the vaccine, he'll be able to see his grandchildren. So should he take the vaccine? So Rav Shmuel responded, yeah, of course, it's kedai for you to take the vaccine so you'll be able to see your grandchildren. Say, is any kind of an issue to take the vaccine? For everyone else, he said, consult with your doctor. I think we know what the doctors are going to say. But I think that's a very beautiful way of putting it, truthfully, which is it's kedai to take the vaccine so you can see your grandchildren. Good grandfatherly advice. In both senses of the term, from one grandfather to another. I think that the point is, it's kedai to take the vaccine so you can see your grandchildren, so you'll be able to live, to have grandchildren, so your grandchildren will be able to see you and benefit from you for years to come, so other people will be able to have grandchildren, so other people will be able to become grandfathers and grandmothers. Therefore, it's kedai. It's kedai. Use his words. Absolutely kedai to take the vaccine. Rav Asher Weiss wrote a tshuva in which he said that it's roi, that he thinks that based on similar considerations to those that I mentioned, it's roi, it's proper to take the vaccine. He's planning to take the vaccine himself, but he thought that maybe it wasn't a chiyuv per se, because if a person themselves takes protective measures, that they're going to do social distancing, so maybe then they can be protected in other ways. The problem with that argument is, as Rabbi Willett pointed out, that it's not 100% of a sure thing that if you take the safety measures, you're going to be protected. We know of cases people seem to get it anyway. And secondly, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. When it in the Torah, the Malachi Yasharis comes to safety measures, we all know that there's that momentary lapse that the mask might be off. You go out in the street and somebody just happens to pass by. You didn't expect somebody. Momentary lapses, everybody has had momentary lapses pretty much when it comes to the safety measures. So therefore, I don't think one could rely upon that, but I would throw in another issue, which is the more people who have the vaccine, so the closer and the faster we'll get to herd immunity. Once it gets to get to herd immunity, that's what's going to create the protection for the entire population. So therefore, you have an obligation. Every single person who can do so has an obligation to contribute to that moment of herd immunity by getting vaccines. The more people get vaccines, the better. It's going to be better for you, better for your family, better for your community, better for everybody to take the vaccine as quickly as possible. I don't think that it's very complicated when you think about it along those lines. We all get shots. We get, you know, flu shots. We get tetanus shots. We get shots. We get our annual blood tests, you know, we go to doctors and so forth for our annual checkup. It's not a big deal to go and get a vaccine. You're not asking somebody to scale a mountain or to chop off a limb or do anything remotely resembling anything which is either dangerous or suffix sakana. Have the right to rely upon the experts when it comes to these matters. It's much more of a suffix sakana. The Chas v'Shalom come down with coronavirus. We know people, even young people, who have either died of the coronavirus or who have long-lasting lingering effects, whether it's brain fog or weird types of things that affect their spine and their body. I mean, I know of cases. We all know of cases. People who have long-lasting lingering effects from the coronavirus. There are no long-lasting lingering effects from the vaccine. They talk about maybe having some aches and pains in the body, which is a good sign that you're developing the antibodies against the vaccine, against the virus right away, and those only last for a day or two. They really have not had long-lasting effects. Even the people who've had an allergic reaction, they have not had long-lasting allergic reactions. What about in terms of any kind of triage considerations? When it comes to triage, we don't really have the mechanisms to figure out Seder Kadima quite in the same way that they did, that Chazal did in the days of the Gemara, and the Chazal speak in the Mishnah Horios about a ish kodim li'isha la'achios. That's not even codified by the Rambam halacha. Question, why it's not codified la'halacha? Does it mean that we don't give precedence or priority to save one person over another person? So there was an extensive discussion about this, but Moshe Feinstein in his Tshuvos in Choshen Mishpach Chelek Beis Menayin Dalet says if we're going to apply those priorities, it requires Iyun Gadol. He allows for the possibility there's a Ramah in Simen Reish Nun Beis in Yoredeya. It seems to indicate that you have two people drowning in a river, so you save the man before the woman, that there is some Kiyum to some lasting effect to the order of priorities given in the Mishnayos there, Kohen before Levi before Yisrael, unless one of them is a Tamakachim comes before Nama Aretz, etc. But even that Ramah sounds a little bit funny because it's talking about a case of the Mechaber that speaks about who gives you give precedence when it comes to redeeming an individual. And the way the Levush understands the Ramah is that the Rama doesn't say two people are drowning. He said a man and a woman. They're rotsim with Bar Benav. They want to drown. Who wants to drown? Nobody wants to drown. It means that they're being taken captive and they want to throw themselves in the river to die rather than to be violated. So a man is going to be violated in an unnatural way comes first in terms of being redeemed prior to a woman who's going to be violated in a more natural way. As I said, Lubusha understands it. But even if you understood it literally, Rav Moshe says, we don't really know how to apply this. But Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says it's not really applicable b'zman hazeh. Some explain, I think, like Rav Shechter, that the reason it's not applicable is because maybe one comes before the other because they fulfill more mitzvahs. Who knows who fulfills more mitzvahs than somebody else nowadays? We don't engage in those cheshbonos. The Tzitz Eliezer and Chelek Yud Ches Siman Aleph says it's very possible the mission in Horios isn't talking about giving priority to saving people's lives, but just talking about giving a priority in terms of mizonos. So who do you give food to first? You give, and there's a Gemara in Ksuva, Stav Samach Zayin, that says you give it to a woman before a man. And that's probably why the Rambam didn't codify the Mishnah, because the Mishnah goes against the Brice and Ksuva. So we pass like the Brice and Ksuva. Maybe you're only passing like the Mishnah if it's the type of man who is not in the category of going and knocking door to door to ask for mizonos. So that's an entire hierarchy, not really relevant when it comes to, you know, triage, even if it would be done in the fullest halakhic sense of how you're going to distribute the vaccine. Shechter said very nicely recently that the idea of the mission is that there is, so you need to have some sort of a system, some sort of a hierarchy in place. It doesn't have to be our hierarchy. It could be a hierarchy which is established by the relevant governmental and health officials and whatever their system is. So the idea of the mission in Horios is that you're supposed to respect whatever their system is. It goes into effect with a certain amount of thoughtfulness and you're supposed to respect it. I mentioned Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartzatzal. If you look in his Sefer Shari Gedula, he has an English transcription of a shir that he gave on the subject of triage. And he points out that there are really two different approaches. If you look in the Achronim about when it comes to scarce life-saving resources that are available, how do you allocate them? If there's a prima godim in Hilchos Shabbos, in which the Prima Godim in Simon Shin Chav Ches and Mishpitzos of Sipkot and Aleph seems to say that, first of all, he makes a point, so you don't have to really get into, you know, all of the mental gymnastics to figure out why the mission Horio should be available. He just says, as a matter of course, not so characteristic, I don't know, the Prima Godim without sources or anything, he just says, Pshitali. It's obvious to me the Ishu Isha Shav and the Pikuach Nefesh. Man and woman aren't exactly the same plane when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh. I'm not going there. Not having that discussion. He says that what's relevant is the discussion regarding who needs it the most. So he says that if I have somebody who's a Vadai Mesukon, and according to the Rofim, somebody who's definitely in danger, and one person is only possibly in danger, you give to the person who's definitely in danger prior to the person who is only possibly in danger. According to that cheshbon, that hierarchy of the prima godim, it would follow that those who are especially immunocompromised, those who are especially vulnerable, whether it's because of age, there was a recent study that showed that those who are 70 and older are something like 10 times more vulnerable than those who are younger than that age. I think the CDC is recommending that the people who get first in terms of age are those who are 65 and over. So certainly that category, you know, comes first because they're especially misukun when it comes to this virus. And number two, those who are immunocompromised, they might be younger, but they're immunocompromised. Number three, those who are on the front lines, who are constantly being exposed to people who are sick or could have the virus. The healthcare workers, those who are on the front lines, the essential workers, the food purveyors, the people who are working, you know, in the slaughterhouses, the people who are, you know, in a greater exposure to the vaccine, to the virus, excuse me. So those people should certainly have precedence when it comes to the vaccine based on this formulation of the prima godim over those who are only at significant risk. Okay, everybody who's 40, 50, 30. So they also, they have been affected. They can get the virus, and we don't know, you know, what the effect will be. It's been very dire for certain people in that category, and it's not fun for anybody, but it's much more of a suffix, you know, type of sakana for people in that category. So they come second. That's according to the Prima Gaudium's formulation. Rabbi Schwartz points out there's an alternative formulation as well. I don't know that it's necessarily a contradictory formulation, but it's a different one. You find that you find this one in the Igros Moshe, where Moshe Feinstein in Hoshe Mishpah Chelik Beis Siman Ayin Gimel, which he says that even if one person is more of a suffix in terms of their being a danger than somebody else, that they could actually take precedence. When would they take precedence? If we know that a particular treatment is going to be efficacious for them, however, it's not going to be as efficacious for the other person. One person is in terrible danger, but they're not going to last more than 12 months anyway. So therefore, since it's not going to be as beneficial, you give the medicine to the person for whom it is going to be the most beneficial. Now, this is, of course, all speaking about when people walk into the doctor's room at the same time, or you're going to call people to the doctor's office and determine who you're going to call first. But that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about who you're going to call, who you're going to invite to take the vaccine first. So you have to think about to whom is it going to be a greater benefit. Like, for example, I was speaking to one of the local epidemiologists here in Chicago with whom I've been consulted. I spoke to him a few days ago, and I said that, can you make the argument that the vaccine would be more beneficial in terms of its effects for people who are younger and stronger than those who are older? Maybe, you know, the amount of the percentage of effectiveness of the vaccine is lower with respect to those who are older. So even though they need it more, maybe it's less beneficial. Here's where you would have the potential tension between the approach of the Prima Gaudium and the approach of Rav Moshe in terms of those who need it the most and those who would benefit from it the most. So he actually said to me something very interesting. He said that in the context of the influenza shot, they did determine with certain types of flus that the ones who would benefit from the flu the most, for whom it would be most effective, are those who are actually younger as opposed to those who are older. So therefore, when it comes to the flu shot, it's very much encouraged, it's very much pushed for people who are younger to get it, because they help to contribute to the herd immunity more than the people who are older. The people who are older certainly need it more, but it's not necessarily as effective in their case. So you don't get to the herd immunity as quickly when you're only giving to the older people and not the younger people. I didn't know any of this. This was very fascinating to me. But he said that when they did the studies regarding the vaccines for the coronavirus, they found, when we speak about the 90% effective rate, the 94% effective rate, that could presumably be allocated differently in different populations. Maybe there's one population for whom it's 99% effective, the other population that it's 87% effective or something like that. But he said that it was pretty evenly distributed throughout all of the different population categories. And even those who are 70 and older, the vaccine is just as effective, just as efficacious with respect to them as it is with respect to those who are younger. Now, of course, when you're dealing with people who are below 16, we don't know that it's efficacious at all. It wasn't tried out for that population. That population, Bli Ayin Hara, really hasn't been harmed. Maybe there's, you know, one case in a million or something like that, but it's really, you know, not a significant danger. Thank God for that population. So for that population, they neither, you know, need it as much, nor do we know that it's beneficial for them. So they certainly, you know, would come, you know, towards the end of the line when it comes to administering the vaccine. What about somebody who already had it? Maybe you say that they're not in danger anymore, so therefore they don't need it, and there's no, you know, great benefit, you know, for them in terms of receiving it. So here, the experts seem to say, you can go and look at frequently asked, you know, questions on the CDC, you know, website and elsewhere. But what the experts seem to say is, they don't know enough yet. they don't know enough yet. They know about the vaccine. The vaccine is safe, Baruch Hashem, and effective, but they don't know enough yet with respect to people who already had the illness, whether they're going to be protected for the long term, only for the short term, how long their immunity from the illness is going to last. The immunity is likely to be much greater with respect to this vaccine. And therefore, they're recommending that even people who already received it should already receive the COVID virus and have recovered, that they should receive the vaccine as well. So here in this case, I guess that again, we would say that those who had had the virus but are a little older would still, you know, come before those who are younger who had the virus. I asked the local epidemiologist what he thought about this issue. So he said he thought that those who already had the virus don't have to be vaccinated so quickly. They could go to the end of the line. Said maybe, you know, wait a year, because he figured, okay, a year, that probably that's probably a reasonable time frame to assume that they're going to retain immunization. Practically nobody who had the virus has gotten it a second time. You hear about a handful of cases, but, you know, it practically doesn't happen. It's not something which people are, you know, terribly worried about. However, these are all just given as examples of different considerations that one would have to take into account if they were being called upon to make, you know, the decisions, and obviously would be consulting with the doctors and the experts and utilizing the data in terms of those who need it the most, those who benefit from it the most, to help make a halakhic suggestion. Like for a hospital ethics advisory board of, you know, who should get it first. But if those who are being given the responsibility determine that even, let's say in a nursing home facility, that even those who already had the virus should receive the vaccine together with everybody else in the facility, you don't have to turn it down. You rely upon the experts and you don't say, no, save it for somebody else. You can receive the vaccine under those circumstances. Somebody just yesterday asked me a shaila of, they have a mother who's in a home and she had the virus and they want to give her the vaccine together with everybody else, but she has a history of allergic reactions. And there was some nervousness in the family, whether she should have it or not, but the doctors were recommending she should have it. I said, at the end of the day, it's up to the doctors. It doesn't seem like this is terribly, you know, dangerous for anybody. There's allergic reactions. So, okay, that's the one category where we heard. Maybe there's a little bit of concern. I said that the halakhic approach in these matters is that if you're not sure with respect to the first doctor, so you could ask for a second opinion. You find a doctor with more expertise in the area or something like that. But at the end, we ultimately rely upon the doctors when it comes to these considerations. I happen to come across also the following halacha that I think was mentioned in some of the other discussions regarding the coronavirus about whether one says a yehi ratzon before they're vaccinated. We know that the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Lamed Siv Dalet says that if a person goes in for a procedure, like a medical procedure, used to be the bloodletting procedure based on the Gemara and Brachos Daf Samech, they say, you give a special little prayer, then after the procedure, you say, Baruch HaRofei Cholim. So I was asked by one of the Rabbanim here in town whether he should, when he goes for his vaccine, he works in a nursing home, and he also is guiding and counseling the people, you know, in his facility, whether we should tell them to make the bracha Baruch Rofei Cholim. So if you look in the Kisa Shulchan Aruch, the Chayodim, seems that the bracha, the Rofei Cholim, the Baruch Rofei Cholim after a procedure is only in connection with bloodletting. When it comes to other medical procedures, we find that only the first part of the halacha is really recorded, like the Mishnah Berurah says, that whenever anybody goes for anything of a medical nature, so it's appropriate to say the Yehi Ratzon prayer. So we don't, the Baruch Rofei Cholim is more reserved. Somebody was sick, you see they're better, so you say Baruch Rofei Cholim. But in terms of the Yehi Ratzon prayer, it's appropriate before you go in for any procedure. What if you feel you're not sick, you're only getting a vaccine in order to prevent yourself from getting sick? So here, I saw in the Sefer Dole Umashke, the quote from Chaim Kanievsky, who, by the way, was recorded in a video saying Srichim, and he was asked about the vaccine. So you could add him to the list of Gedolim who say that it's an obligation to have the vaccine. So he says that even before a vaccine, a person's vaccinating their children, it's supposed to say Roilom. It's an appropriate thing. Even the person's not sick, Roilom. Here the world is sick. So it's certainly a prayer that one should say for themselves. They should say for the world. You know, Dr. Glatt said that when he went in for his vaccine, he's the most consulted epidemiologist, I think, from the community during the course of this entire pandemic. So he said this prayer, Yirasam Ofanecha, She'esek Zeli, Refua, Kiro, Fitin, Amata, with great fervor. And we should all say it with great fervor. I'll just add that I noticed as I'm just being Mavis Edra this past Shabbos. We speak about the Bnei Yaakov that they saw there was a famine in Mitzrayim, and Yaakov was sending them that they should get food, and then they came back and they were sitting around because he didn't want them to bring a Binyamin. And Yehuda said we have to go, otherwise we're going to stop. Yom Yehuda Yisrael Aviv Shulchan Nari Tziva Nakuma Bnei Lecha, send him with me so we can go. And what's the purpose of this exercise? V'nechye lo namus, so we can live and not die. That sometimes you have to do things even that are a little bit uncomfortable, just like it's a little uncomfortable for people. You know, sometimes they have to wear their masks at all time. They have to curtail guests that they have at their Shabbos table and social interactions. But the idea is, us, the other guy, and our children, future generations, that we have to keep the world going. We have to keep our communities safe. And Rashi says, Binyamin safek yitbo safek lo yitbos. Binyamin is a safek whether he's going to be taken captive. That's what we call the safek sakana. We are all going to be in mortal danger if we don't go. That it's better that we not worry so much about the thing that's doubtful, and we focus on addressing that which is certain. And our danger is certain. The same is true for us right now. Our danger is quite certain. You know, even when we speak about, you know, the danger that they were dealing with, there was a ra'av. So, yeah, it's true, a ra'av, a famine could go away. But right then, it was certain the ra'av was still raging. Right now, the coronavirus is still raging. We daven that it should, that it should go away speedily. But it's still raging, the magefa, and the fact that people are dying. Rahman al-Islan from the magefa, that's a vaday. Any concerns we have, which are minimal to non-existent regarding the vaccine, are pretty much pretty much infinitesimal, and therefore we have to view that as not only a suffix, it's the smallest possible suffix. When we have the smallest possible suffix that we're worried about, but we have a vaday of pikuach nefesh and sakanas nefashos that we're addressing. So then our attitude has to be b'nechye v'lo namus gam anachnu gam atop gam tapenu. And also we have to recognize it's the last, you know, thing that I'll throw into the discussion, that we have an obligation of lo sakalu hashem kachiv v'nikdashti b'sok m'nei so ani hashem mekadishchem. We have an obligation to be mekadish shem shemayim. If we in the Fum community are not going to be at the forefront of taking appropriate steps to safeguard our health and the health of others, so therefore we are diminishing the covet of the Torah, making it look like we're a backwards people. We're supposed to be an Or LaAmim. We're supposed to be a light to the nation. So show how much reverence and respect we have for human life, our lives and the lives of others, in order to make ourselves a Kiddush Hashem. We read last week Parshas Miketz, which for us should connote Miketz. It should be the end of the entire coronavirus pandemic. and the terrible effects that it has had on the world and on our community. In order for us to bring this to a speedily end, we have to move forward to Vayigash. We have to approach what's available for us to address and conquer the virus by taking the vaccine. We have to be Vayigash to the vaccine, to jump, to take it as quickly as possible. Yes, Hashem, that should lead us all to Vayichi, to be able to have long and healthy lives for ourselves, our families, and our communities.